with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. This week, we continue the discussion with regular guest David Woodbridge about a typical day for a blind person who uses technology to make home life easier. He walks us through his house and explains all the devices he uses that allow him to perform functions that would otherwise be quite difficult, such as cooking. David is an adaptive technology consultant for Vision Australia and a complete technology tragic. So Barbara Sullivan asked David what new devices had excited him recently.
The other device that I bought this year, and to me it's been one of the most liberating bits of technology that I've bought for quite a while, is a smart television. Because I travel off to work, I do my work, I come back home, and invariably by the time I get home, the boys have played on their Xbox and they've played on the Apple TV. So I rock up to the television set and go, so why isn't my TV talking to me when I go on to the live television?
What have the boys done?
Yeah, exactly. What have the boys done? Because it's on the Xbox. So up until now, I've had to ask my boys to change the source from HDMI 1 to 2 or wait for my wife to come home to do the same thing. But now, having a smart television, which has actually got built-in speech output, it's called Voice Guide, when I hit the on button, it comes up and says, Samsung television, Xbox One, HDMI 1. And I go, aha. So I just press the smart button to take it back to the main screen. I can then choose to go to the Apple TV or to go to live TV or completely independently myself. And the really cool thing about it is that when the boys don't want to have this thing talking to them, because of course they're sighted, they can turn the accessibility off straight away. And then if they've turned it off and I come back to the TV and the boys forgot to turn it on, which is quite rare because they're very good, again, I can just press the same button and have it come back on straight away. So just that little thing about being able to independently use your TV and the things attached to it, like I said, like the Xbox and the Apple TV, has just really opened my horizons to be a blind parent as a blind person, to be really independent on the use of that type of technology. But what I really want to try out one day is one of these automated mowing machines where you can set up these boundary laser type things so it's enclosed in a certain area when it does the lawn mowing. With the NDIS, I get somebody paid to do my lawn. I thought, wouldn't it be really cool if you had this little automated mowers, which you can buy? So one of these days I'm going to try it. I don't know whether the NDIS would pay for an automated mowing machine or not, but that's something that I want to try out in the future, is this type of device. I've actually got a robot vacuum cleaner now that actually, it's just one of those little round, it's like a Roomba one. This one's from Samsung. Again, this is controlled via an app. You can start and stop it from Google Home, or you can drive it from the Samsung app on your iPhone or your Android device.
What are some of the other smart devices that help you carry out just everyday chores?
So besides the vacuum cleaner and the smart TV, the other couple of things that I use all the time is I've got an indoor and an outdoor weather sensor that links up via HomeKit to my iPhone. So I can check out what the temperature and humidity and CO2 level, for some odd reason, inside, and check what the temperature and the humidity is like outside. Because what I do for them is, because I can't see the air conditioner, I use those monitoring things for inside and outside to adjust the sensibility thing on the air conditioner. The other thing I use too is what's called the Ring video doorbells. I get a bit nervous as a blind person answering the doors if I don't know who the person is. So if I'm unsure, I can answer the doorbell on my iPhone. Again, it's also for Android. And I can have a two-way conversation with the person. Or what my wife can do as a sighted person is, because it's also got a motion sensor, not just pressing the doorbell, she can also see who's come to the front door and maybe perhaps hasn't pressed the doorbell. They've been hanging around. So from a security point of view, that's quite handy. And then, of course, I've got lots of smart lights around my house. So I can say to Google Home or HomeKit via Siri, you know, turn boys' lamps on or off, turn the lounge room lamp on and off, turn the outdoor light on and off, particularly when we're coming home in the car at night time and it's all dark, and David's forgotten to turn the lights on in the house. We can do it that way as well. So those things are really, really handy. One day I really want to move into the smart door lock, so you can actually use the proximity to the iPhone or use a keypad or use some other methods via the app to sort of unlock and lock your door. That'd be pretty cool. So I'm gradually building up all my smart home tech over time, but primarily at the moment it's the robot, the vacuum cleaner, the Sensibo one, the Ring Video Doorbell, the smart TV. One final thing, just going back to Google Home, if you've got speakers that have got a 3.5 mil jack, which means you can plug in a device into the back of the speaker, you can get these really cool things for Google Home, which are called Chromecast audio devices. And what they do is that you plug the Chromecast audio via a little cable into that 3.5 mil headphone jack at the back of the speaker, and then you can transmit to that Chromecast audio device because it's connected to Wi-Fi via your Google Home. So in effect, you can set up your whole house with, if you like, quote, smart speakers around the house. So I've got about 10 around my house. So I can say, for example, okay, Google, play music in the lounge room, or hey, Google, play music only on the north side of the house, or the south side of the house, or the front or the back. I've got different zones set up. So rather than buying expensive Sonos speakers or AirPlay speakers or Samsung wireless speakers, I've been lucky that the original speakers that I bought for doing my other stuff with AirPlay had these audio jacks in the back. So I've been able just to use those speakers to turn my whole house into smart speakers that I can use with Google Home. It's absolutely brilliant.
It sounds brilliant. And you figure all this out yourself, where the jack is and that it's in fact got those jacks?
Absolutely, yeah. So look, I mean, with the speakers, it was purely by accident with the speakers. I mean, I wasn't planning on having Chromecast audio device in the future. I had this conversation with somebody the other day, and look, there's no reason you can't mix and match things together. So in my house, I've got a Google Home, I've got an Amazon Echo, and I've got Siri. So each of those offers different benefits. So again, as I said, with Siri and the HomePod, I can use it to make and receive messages and phone calls. With the Amazon Echo, I can get it to play my Audible.com books and my Kindle books. And of course, with the Google Home, I can use that for all the broadcast stuff to control the robot vacuum and so on. So for me, having those three different systems, I can choose the best features that I want to use for myself and my family on each one of those. So I'm not stuck in the Appleverse, the Googleverse, or the Echoverse. I've been able to use all three of those universes to create my own smart home technology setup.
Let's get back to the kitchen. You're the main cook for the family.
Yep.
I gather from comments you made, you're very familiar in the kitchen. I mean, how you manage to do it easily, I've got no idea, but it sounds to me as if, from what you've described, you use a mixture of those things. For example, if you're trying a recipe or something like that, do you just ask for Siri to give you the recipe?
Yeah, and you know what's funny? Siri can't do that.
Ah.
Again. So it's Google Home. So what happens with Google Home and the Amazon Echo? Let's say, for example, I wanted to do, I don't know, let's take a basic one, like I want to do scrambled eggs with cheese or something like that. So that's a recipe in Google Home. What you can say, if you say, okay, Google, give me a recipe for cheese omelette or something like that, what it'll come back and say is, well, do you want the ingredients now or do you want me to give you the recipe step by step? So I normally know what the ingredients is. So I just say step by step and it will literally give you the step by step instructions on creating that meal. And when you finish one step, you just say next step and it goes to the next step. So you can effectively have got this hands-free mode of operation by using Google Home, as I said, also the Amazon Echo, to give the instructions. And the other stuff I also use in the kitchen, I've got both either a talking meat thermometer or one that links up to my iPhone to measure the temperature of the meat when I'm cooking, because, of course, I can't see if the meat's changed colour like a steak. I use a temperature thermometer. But then when I'm having to weigh ingredients, I've actually got a talking set of scales from Vision Australia, so I use that to weigh my ingredients. And I do have some other things like, you know, liquid levels, so that when the water hits the sensor, it beeps to let you know it's up there so you don't burn yourself with hot stock and that sort of stuff. So all this technology really comes in handy because, again, I'm just like anybody else in the kitchen, but I just tend to use these different types of technology to do what everybody else can do automatically.
Before, you alluded to a couple of things that you'd like to see, and technology is changing so fast to make everyday life easier. Is there anything else on your wish list that you can't do that you'd like to?
Yeah, so besides the fact that Siri can't do multiple timers, which really irritates me, that's one of my big bugbears. I just like, come on, guys, one day this really has to happen. I think to me, it's the problem. One of the main fears I've got is that all the white goods coming out these days are coming out with lots and lots of touchscreens. Some of them have apps to use them with it and some don't. And I just wish that when the manufacturers produce these white goods, such as, you know, dishwashers and washing machines and dryers and so on, that they include either built-in accessibility, so, you know, goodness me, the thing that actually talks to you or you can talk to it, or that the apps that they have for these devices will be accessible for blind or low vision via a smartphone or an Android phone, which is okay. But then I think, well, why should you have to have a smartphone just to be able to use a washing machine, for example, that's inaccessible just because it's got a touchscreen? To me, my future hope is that we can overcome that. And it's not just white goods, it's these touchscreen kiosks that you find in major government departments, things at the airport, the fast self-service kiosks and that sort of stuff. So to me, I want to see them become accessible. And the other thing I'd really like to see one day is this type of beacon technology that both all the major manufacturers talk about. I mean, wouldn't it be cool to be able to walk down a railway platform and have a little beacon pop up at you and say the stairs or the lift are 10 metres in front of you, or if you've gone the wrong direction, you're going toward the end of the platform, the beacon pops up and goes, oi, you're approaching the end of the station. If you want the stairs or the lift, you've got to turn around and go back the other direction. That would be so easy to implement. It's not hard. They're just little self-contained transmitters. And as long as you've got the appropriate smartphone on you, then it's going to pick it up. So I think that would be cool. And then probably a third one to me, which is, again, very important to me, is that we've got all these brilliant, absolutely good, you know, GPS apps for outdoor navigation. What we haven't got is any foolproof indoor navigation system yet. So I know I can use IRA, for example, with a sighted agent.
Yeah.
But I thought, God, wouldn't it be cool if I could just independently walk into a building, find the lift, go up to the 25th floor, come out of the lift, and find reception for my particular business that I might be visiting that particular day. I think indoor navigation would absolutely break it for me as far as being, you know, an independent blind person visiting different businesses for my job.
Well, it sounds to me as if it's going to happen within your lifetime. You said you're 50. I would say within 10 years, you'll probably have a lot of what's on your wish list accomplished.
Oh, I'm sure it will. Yeah, look, I mean, the indoor navigation's already been worked on. Samsung the other day saying they're working on some sort of speech system for washing machines. I'm not quite sure whether it was voice input or voice output. So these things are sort of at the infancy, so hopefully they'll be growing more and more as they come on board. But I just hope that the thing about mainstream technology is that they don't always consider the full consumer market. They sometimes focus on something. So what I normally say to people, look, if you come across these things and you do use them or your friends use them and they're not accessible, don't throw up your hands and say, oh, this is absolutely awful, I'm not going to do anything about it. Give feedback to the different companies, because the more the companies get feedback, the more likely they are to make improvements. Because if they just get one complaint, they'll go, oh, you know, it was just Joe Blogs from Beyond the Black Stump, who cares? Whereas if they get 1,000 complaints, they go, oh dear, this is an important topic, an important issue, maybe we better start working on it.
And a bit of hard lobbying from David Woodbridge.
Absolutely.
Thanks, David.
That's okay, my pleasure.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.